what love felt like. And in that motel room, all my senses came to life. Oh, the passion in his touch. And I knew I could never get enough. But the worst part of doing what I never should have done is that I know there's more where that came from.
When the Country Music Awards come to Madison Square Garden on Tuesday, there'll be one person with six chances to win. My next guest, Leanne Womack, the top nominated female vocalist for her album, There's More Where That Came From. It's an MCA Nashville release. She'll be performing as well at the Bowery Ballroom with Shooter Jennings on Monday night, and I'm glad that we could catch up with her today. Hi.
Hi.
The Times, in a big piece yesterday about Odie Blackman, the composer of I May Hate Myself in the Morning, which is the big hit on the new album, said it was, I'm quoting, beautifully sung, or more accurately, sighed by you. Did you think you were sighing it when you made that record?
A little bit. I mean, I have a tendency to pick songs that you would sigh rather than sing. So,
when you see a song like that, do you know immediately that it's right for you?
I knew that one was. I mean, it reminded me so much of the music that my dad played when he spun records, you know, Tammy Wynette, George Jones, things like that. It took me right back to that time.
Your father worked in radio?
Mm-hmm.
He was a DJ.
Yes.
So that meant you either were going to go in the music business or do everything possible to stay out of it.
I think, yeah, if I hadn't been a singer, I probably would have ended up being on the radio.
But what you're saying is that you heard the sound that your father used to play. There's been a lot of talk recently about country music not sounding like country anymore. Mm-hmm. And the tunes in this album sound more country than what we usually hear on the radio today. So this was a conscious effort to return to certain things that you grew up with?
Initially, it wasn't. I didn't know what I was going to do. I had this big song, I Hope You Dance. It had been a big crossover song. And it as great as it was, it caused a lot of confusion for me because I was just this girl from East Texas who wanted to make country records. And I had to take a couple of years off, didn't know what I was going to do. And my husband came in through the front door one day with the song, I May Hate Myself in the Morning, But I'm Going to Love You Tonight. And it just gave me a whole new reason to make music again.
You'd taken 3 years off, hadn't you?
Well, it had been 3 years since I had since I had made an album, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's a long time.
It's a long time, yeah.
Is it also because you're a mother with a couple of kids?
I love to be with my kids, too, so I never mind taking time off. I don't get bored.
Because it is a hard industry for someone who has to balance that sort of thing.
It is, yeah.
There's a lot of touring required.
Right. I have my older daughter sings with me, and she travels with me. So she'll be on the award show with me next week.
So once you found I May Hate Myself in the Morning, how did you go about coming up with the other songs? Did you try to make them all fit together?
Yeah, I did. I always do. I just put the word out, kind of, you know, what I was looking for. And there were a lot of people who were really grateful because there are a lot of people who, Hank Cochran and Willie Nelson and people who write this kind of music, you know, but people don't record it necessarily all that much anymore. So I had no trouble really finding the songs.
Well, most rock performers are singer-songwriters, but isn't Nashville something of a throwback to the old Tin Pan Alley approach where people tend to sing other people's songs? I mean, you have songs that you've co-written, but on the whole, these are composed by other people.
Yes. As a general rule in Nashville, we do have singer-songwriters who are some of my favorites, like Rodney Crowell and Steve Earle and Buddy Miller. Great people. But a lot of artists sing songs written by songwriters that just do that.
Why do you think that is?
To be honest with you, I don't know why it got started that way. But I think it's that way now because that's the way it's been forever.
And people don't want to change it. But radio stations have been playing some more of a crossover kind of sound. Were you worried that they wouldn't play this kind of country?
Sure. Yeah, I've always worried that they wouldn't play real country music. Some do and some don't, and that's fine.
But there's also been a lot of complaining in recent years about the country business as a business and the country business as a place where people make a certain kind of music.
Yeah, I mean, some people
marketing
complain.
Has really had a major impact and affected what people hear.
Mm-hmm, it has. I mean, video killed the radio star, you know? I mean, it's happened across the board, not just in country. But, I try not to complain about it too much because I get to be kind of – the irony is that I'm really country, and that's unique these days.
Why do you think heartbreak and regret are so often the subjects of country music?
I think country music is about real life issues, much like hip hop was a few years ago, you know, and I think that people can really relate to it. It doesn't matter what you do for a living, how much money you make or don't make, you know, people can relate to these things.
A song you co-wrote is 20 Years and Two Husbands Ago. How much is that based on reality?
100%.
So when you were listening to your father spin records, were you already singing? Did you always sing? Did you always think this is what I want to do for a living?
I remember being a little bitty girl and watching the Porter Wagoner show on TV and seeing Dolly Parton on there. And I was young enough to stand up in front of the TV and watch it. And I remember thinking, how do I get in that box and be like her? So that was my first memory of wanting to sing.
And did you base some of your style on her?
Yeah, I mean, definitely.
Although you have a deeper voice than she does.
A little bit, yeah.
So does everybody.
You know, she's one of my influences. Ricky Skaggs is, Bob Wills, Ray Price, you know, even some Ray Charles.
Well, he sang country very
sure
consciously
did.
To break out of his box.
Right.
What music do you listen to at home or in the car? Those singers?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I have a daughter, so I listen to a little bit of pop, but not too much. And if I'm going to sit down and listen for pleasure, it's probably going to be George Jones, who I think is like the greatest singer ever.
But your daughters listen to standard rock and roll, or do they listen to rap as well?
You know what? They listen to a lot of stuff. They're on dance team, and so we get some hip-hop kind of stuff through that. But my older daughter really has gotten into – she met Shooter Jennings this year, and Shooter was so cool and loved country music that it became cool to her.
Now, Shooter Jennings is Waylon Jennings' son, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And you're performing with him at the Bowery Ballroom. That's in the Lower East Side,
yes.
6 Delancey Street, this Monday. That's got to be an odd venue for you. Is New York an odd place for you to perform in?
Well, I'll find out.
You've never done it before.
I've done some really small press things, you know, and I've done some shows near here with some bigger artists like George Strait. But this is my first real introduction to New York.
Well, when New York had a country music station, it eventually went out of business because it couldn't hold its own. And yet it was pointed out that it had more listeners than any other country music station in America. So there are a lot of people out there who listen to the music, but just not enough to compete with
percentage-wise
other parts of the music business.
Right. I think there's a lot of everything in New York.
Meanwhile, you have this new album that sold 4.5 million album so far. You've received 5 Grammy nominations in the past, right? Won
mm-hmm.
twos, charted 7 top 10 hits, 4 number ones. This is a nice career.
So far, so good.
Without New York. And now, by the way, if you're interested in going to the Bowery Ballroom at 6 Delancey Street on Monday, it's 9 o'clock show, and tickets, you can call for them at 866-468-7619. I want to play a little bit of the music, so maybe we should listen to the song you co-wrote, 20 Years and Two Husbands Ago.
Great.
You want to listen to that now?
I'd love to.
Thanks.
Looking in the bathroom
Maybelline can't hide the lines of time that's gone. I weighed 105, soaking wet. I'd knock 'em dead in that sundress. Had it all, just too young to know. That was 20 years and two husbands ago. I remember when he took my hand and said I do, and the kitchen I was standing in when he said I'm through. And I swore I'd never fall back in, put my heart through that again. Never let somebody get that close. But that was 20 years, yeah, two husbands ago. Occurred to me, with all the wrong turns that I've made, I'm right where I should be. But I go back there from time to time, looking for that key.
The largest urban oil spill is just below Newtown Creek in Greenpoint, Brooklyn. On Monday's show, Chief Investigator Basil Segos tells us about the civil suit residents are bringing against three major oil companies. Plus, we'll hear about the wheelings and dealings over artists' estates, and Siri Husbett will share her collections of essays on paintings. The Leonard Lopate Show is produced by Melissa Egan with Maureen McMurray, Sarah English, and Brenna Farrell. We had help today from Mohan Senaviratne and contributing producer Bonnie LeFay. Kevin Bristow is at the audio controls. I'm Leonard Lopate, your host. I'll see you tomorrow. Or on Monday.